If you're alive in Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear anything from that section. What's going on over there? Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Turn around to somebody and say, I'm glad you're in church today. Can we have some fellowship? Come on, stop sitting there like stiff Adventists. Jesus loves you, man. I'm so excited to be here. What about you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to acknowledge my father and one of my fathers and mothers in Christ, who had the nerve and the courage when I was younger, stronger, had an afro. O thou who do not believe. The Burgess family, it's good to see you here, brother and sister Burgess. They remember me when I was different. Give God thanks. I'm on behalf of my wife, who has to represent me somewhere else, and she's much better looking than I am, sweeter, lovely. She should be a saint by now. We've been married almost 30 years. I know she's ready for translation. Hello? She is at another church deputizing for me, and I bring greetings from her and also our president, Ed Keyes, and the other directors and officers of our conference. You know, God is amazingly good. Okay, we can try that again. Because I think I've got a room full of doubters here. So for those of you who do not doubt who God is and how great he is, I say God is amazing.
Amen.
Amen. Wake up, cemetery. We're having church.
Amen.
This morning on my way here, there's a normal route that I would take. I live in Anthem, and if anyone, all the ladies know where Anthem is because of the outlets. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Hello. And I travel down on 17 South, heading to 101, and on my way here, I see this sign, detour. I figured I'm already running late. I'm never going to get here in reasonable time. But do you know sometimes the detours in life are a blessing? Sometimes a distraction. Sometimes the reason why you're late or you should not have been in a certain place at a certain time was because somebody had some plans for your life that was not God approved. And I have to give God praise. I got here quicker because of the detour, and I wasn't driving the speed limit, but that's got to stay here. I needed to get here, and I got here, and I was shocked when I saw on my GPS, you have 3 minutes. I don't get 3 minutes during the week, but I had 3 minutes, and I just had to drive up Galveston and give the Lord thanks. I guess he wanted me to be here. Second blessing today. When the trio got up and the young lady was talking about what was going on in our country, let's pray for those officers. Let's pray for those people who lost somebody. I don't know, but we are closer to the coming of Jesus Christ than we can think, we could be comfortable with. Yes. When they were going to do special music, and I always ask the Lord before I preach, give me confirmation that what you have given me today must be given out, otherwise it stays where it is. And when the young lady, she was talking about the song, I said, Lord, is it Give Me a Clean Heart? Right there.
Wow.
Do we need clean hearts?
Yeah.
Hello? We do. So without any further ado, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, this is your time. This is your moment. This is your place. We are your people. I do not have a clean heart, so therefore do some heart surgery on the preacher this morning. And while you're doing that, if it must be general anesthetic or local anesthetic, whatever it is we need, minister to us today so that as I repeat the words of Jesus, thy kingdom will come. Thy will be done in my heart, in this place, on this earth, as it is in heaven. And let all those who agree say, praise the Lord. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, how many brought your swords today? How many of you came armed and extremely dangerous to give the devil a headache this morning? How many of you came to shake the foundations of hell and send a message that God's prophecies are still true?
Amen.
All right, I'm in good company. Turn with me again to Daniel chapter 2. Some of you may not have been able to see the screen. And I want to thank Alan. I think we need to encourage our young people, young lady on the piano, all those who participate. It was good to see young women and men, deacons and deaconesses. Amen? And one of the things I love about Chandler, among the many things, that you take time for praise and testimony. Prayer and testimony tells people that God is not dead. Sister, we're praying for you and that situation. Go with me to Daniel. What book did I say? What chapter? Verses 40, 41. Well, let's go from 40, and we're going to go down to 45. Because I have a policy here. If it's not in the Word, it should not be heard. And if the Bible don't teach it, then we don't preach it. Because some of us have made the foolishness of preaching to preach foolishness. That will not happen here. And I have a rule, no one goes to sleep while I'm talking. Because if you fall out and hurt yourself, I'm not like the Apostle Paul. I don't know that I can bring you back. All right, Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 45. And the Bible says, Daniel is having this conversation with Nebuchadnezzar, as we all know. And the fourth kingdom shall be weak as iron. Huh? I'm checking to see who's listening. Weak or strong? All right. Checking again. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Verse 41. Whereas, O king, you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, and the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. Verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. Verse 43. And you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay. They will not mingle, and they will do something with the seed of men. Is that what the Bible says? Who says they will? How many of you agree with that? One, two, three, four, five. Okay, I don't know what Bible you're reading. We'll try that again. And as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron doesn't mix with clay. And while all that's going on in verse 44, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, and in the days of these kingdoms, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that might come to an end. Hello? You sure? Thy kingdom come? Thy will be done? On earth as it is in heaven? Some of us don't believe that. Set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Some of us will be in there, others will not. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand how long? I can't hear you. Say it with passion. Like you mean it. Okay, you keep on saying forever, forever, forever. I'm just making sure you're with me. Verse 45, inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Watch this. Daniel is doing a strategic up the scale of the body of the image, and he's being specific. My God is specific. And he's accurate in his specificity. Specificity. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say. The great God who? You don't sound like you believe it. Is he great or is he just good? You know, I get fed up with, God is good all the time. God is great all the time. We need to ramp this thing up. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. And I like the last line. What does Daniel tell him? He says the dream is what? And the interpretation is sure. In other words, your majesty, make no mistake. What I have just told you will happen, is going to happen, whether you like it or not, whether you're ready or not, whether you pay attention to it or not, God's going to do what God's going to do. There are three things. Topic today, my body may be dead, but what? Did you say itching or kicking? My body is dead, but what? My feet are still kicking. Hello. This morning I want to just focus on three things. What does it mean when we talk about the body being dead and the feet still kicking? One of the things I'd like to do, the first of all, is that to warn us that like King Nebuchadnezzar, our failure to believe what is going on around us and what God is trying to tell us may induce upon us spiritual insomnia. How many of you had a good night's sleep last night? How many of you didn't? How many of you felt you haven't slept all week? You get those weeks. Amen, somebody? Huh? If you got children? Hello? Yes. Spiritual insomnia. You fall asleep, but you can't rest. You're lying on your back, but you may as well be standing on your feet. Spiritual insomnia. And when you get that, you get depressed, you get anxiety attacks, and all the things that are associated with it. How many of us have been stressed out this week? Or if you're not living in the real world, something's wrong with you. Right. But how many of you are blessed in spite of the stress? Yeah. Amen. Record that, devil. The other thing I want to do is to throw some light on what happened in my hometown of London, England, just a few weeks ago, Brexit. Hello? And I want you to understand before we leave here just how close and accurate we are to Bible prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. And the third thing I want to focus on, the vote to stay or to leave Europe has greater implications for those of us who are voting to stay in the present world as it is or choosing to leave the present world for the better world that the uncut stone, which we read about in Daniel, is going to bring in. Are you ready? The Holy Spirit is still with us. He has not left at 12 o'clock. Amen. I remember that night. Two Thursdays ago, I stayed up to watch the referendum. I couldn't sleep. I was restless. And instead of being restful, I was watching the debates. I was watching the scores. I was watching the votes as they came in. And in spite of what I already knew and what I believed, I still wasn't sure in my heart that it was going to happen. That bothered me. And it should. Because sometimes we can't follow the impulses of the heart. We have to remember what we put in our head. I remember 10 years ago, 11 years ago in 2005. How many of you were here in 2005? Some of you are lying. You're more than 10 years old. Hello? You were here, even if you didn't know it. I know I was here. And I remember when they were trying to vote the European Constitution. And I remember that the 28 nations that make up the European Union had to vote that constitution in, and it had to be ratified unanimously. I remember the political turmoil in France and the prime minister or the president urging the vote, we need to vote this constitution so that we will have one government. So that central control will come not from London or whatever other country, it will come from Brussels. We will make the rules here. We need that vote. And they campaigned and they campaigned. And I live to see that document was never ratified. Denmark bowed out. And the French said no. In our lifetime. France and Denmark opposed it. I guess they didn't understand what Daniel was talking about in Daniel chapter 2, verse 41. They shall mingle, but they shall not cleave. I remember watching the politicians going around saying why we should stay or why we should leave. I remember watching and looking at people's faces. You see, much of the decisions as to whether or not the UK should stay or leave Europe was built on false premise, false assumptions, and misinformation. Now, saints, we know that when you are forced or coerced into doing something you don't want to do and you're not getting the facts, that cannot be of God. That has to be you know who. Am I right? And so a lot of people didn't know which way they would vote. It was built on fear, smear, and exaggeration, confusion, ignorance, and delusion, mistrust, skepticism, and polarization. Some favored that they should stay in at the expense of the poor. Others, on the other hand, felt that economic unity and prosperity was better than holding the right to be democratic and to be make the decisions that the country had the right to. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you know of NAFTA? Who knows what NAFTA is? For those of you, let me educate you. NAFTA is the North American Free Trade Agreement. It is the agreement between the United States, Canada to the north, and Mexico. It's a trade deal. Well, let me ask you a question. And just this happened just over a week or so ago. The Canadian Prime Minister met with the U.S. President and the Mexican President after Brexit. And you know what they were talking about? We need to have stronger ties together. You see, when we joined the EU in 1975, it was the economic community. It morphed into the economic union. Watch this. Let me ask you a question. Because people have asked me this, and with all due respect to the president, but the White House was wrong. Mr. Obama, you were wrong to tell us we should stay. Because God has said something else in the Word of God. Watch this. Let me ask you a question. Would you like Mexico to tell you how you should live here in these United States and make laws? Are you sure? Well, let's try north of the border. What about Canada? Would you like Ottawa, every piece of legislation that you pass or you touch or you deal with in Washington has to be ratified by Ottawa? Would you like that? Who would? Would you like them to tell you how to go, when to come, just for the benefit of money? Talk to me, somebody. Well, this is exactly what has been going on in Europe. For some, on the one hand, economic unity and prosperity was better to hold on to. There's an old Indian proverb, American Indian proverb, and I remember reading it when I was pastoring in Canada, and it said something like this: those who give up security for peace, freedom for security, often get neither.
Oh,
you didn't hear what I said. Those who are prepared to give up freedom for safety often get nothing. I want you to hear me now. And then you had people, oh, it's the foreigners that are coming into the country. Huh? It's those folk, not the ones that are hardworking and trying to make a living. Yes, we must have laws. They were starting blaming, immigration. We need to make the UK great again. Hello? It was great beforehand. It's great now, if I may brag about my country. And so is America. America is a great nation because it is blessed by God. Amen, somebody? And I thought about that, and when I watched TV, people were now, you know, it's interesting. Just apply pressure on some people, and you will see who they really are underneath when their going gets tough. Is these folks coming in from other countries? Let me tell you something. I have a question. I was thinking about this, Brother Berger. What would have happened to Egypt had a young teenage Hebrew boy called Joseph not been sold into slavery, misjudged, and now was doing time for something he didn't do? What if he had not connected with Pharaoh in the 7 years of economic depression? What would have happened to him? And if Moses was here and he showed you his passport, it wouldn't say born in Jerusalem. He was born right there in Egypt, and he had dual citizenship, and Moses got the folk out of degradation and poverty and set God's people free. Hello, let me tell you, sitting here, those of you who may feel that way, you better think again. Because this country has become great. What would have happened in 1628 when the Pilgrim Fathers stepped off the boat and had to encounter their first winter had the 8 Indians had not welcomed them and protected them? Huh? I think we've forgotten that we are the grandchildren of Shem. We are the children of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the last time I checked, Noah was married to one wife, which made them grandparents, which makes you and I first cousins. Hello, my brother. How are you doing? Sweet sister, we got to talk. Hello? I knew you looked like somebody in the family. Amen? Hello? Get used to it. You can pick your friends, not your family. Hello? All right. If you want to know if God's got a sense of humor, look in the mirror or just look around. Huh? Yes, he does. Good things can come out of anywhere. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yes, it did. The pollsters, the pundits, and the political and economic establishment made their predictions that we were going to stay in. And I remember the first part of the evening, it all looked like it was going that way. But something in me said, Lord, if it does go this way, then what happens to the prophecy? I recall it was around 9 p.m. our time here, 5 a.m. in UK, and all was not going to plan for those who wanted to remain. As the votes came in, I remember having this eerie feeling, sister. I can't describe it, but it was unsettling, but at the same time, exciting. Why? Because as the votes were tabulated, coming in from around the country, blue on the screen meant go. Yellow meant remain. And as the votes came in, I began to feel and sense the hand of God was in all of this. With the exception of Scotland and Northern Ireland and London, the entire landscape of Britain was blue. 17,410,000 versus 16 million and some change. It was a margin of more than a million votes. But the point was, the following morning, the 24th, Friday, Britain had changed, and so had the rest of the world. God is correct.
Amen.
Over 30 million people cast their vote. Many on both sides woke up the next morning in a completely different situation than the one that they had gone to bed in the night before. Some folks had buyer's remorse. Oh, I didn't know we were going to go out if I voted. Give me a break. I wish I hadn't done that. I should have stayed. And those on both sides. Why? Because the culture of confusion pervaded. The unthinkable happened. The votes had been counted. The people had spoken. And as I said before, the word of God was proved to be right.
Amen.
Okay, let me see what we're doing here. Going back, so we want to go forward. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of the potter's clay, and we've read this. Partly of iron, and the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay. Partly strong, partly fragile. It seems that when Nebuchadnezzar was listening to this discourse that Daniel was sharing with him, you know, some people have selective listening. Have you noticed some folk? You're speaking clearly to them, as much as you can. But they miss some things,
yeah.
And they remember others. As you grow older, that will happen a little more. Some of you young folk don't know what I'm talking about. Selective listening. Nebuchadnezzar was okay with the gold. He was okay. He had a little nervous when it got further down to the feet. Let me tell you something. If the prophecies of God make you nervous and you don't believe he's accurate, something is wrong. In the last part of Daniel chapter 2, especially verses 47 through 49, it appears that Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of this interpretation meeting he has with Daniel, he's okay for a while. How many of you have been told something, you heard it, but it doesn't hit you to some time later? Have you had that? And then you come back, wait a minute, I cannot believe that's what she said. I can't believe he said, let me check that again. I know I was listening, but I didn't hear. When I double-checked now, I heard some things, but there were some other things that just went past. Selective listening, selective hearing, selective seeing, selective watching. The king was convicted, but he wasn't converted. And there are many of us who are convicted, but we're not yet converted. And I felt embarrassed that I should doubt the Lord. I've been to college, I did everything, and yet when the crux came, I felt very uncomfortable that my faith could be shaken. And I'm not saying this to brag because I'm ashamed of it, but it was a wake-up call when Thursday morning came and the polls had come out. We were out. And all around this planet, wherever there was a country, was affected by that vote. Daniel chapter 3, 1 through 7, Nebuchadnezzar was convicted but not converted. The image of all gold. And you know what he does. Some of us are in denial. God ain't serious. He isn't. Okay. I'm going to build my head of gold. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to live it up. But even Nebuchadnezzar had to come to a point where God had to bring him down, make him eat grass or smoke it, whatever. Hello, I knew I'd get somebody's awake now, huh? You didn't hear anything else I said before, but you did hear that. Hello? I touched a nerve. Okay. Pray for it. You see, Bible prophecy did not gel with his long-term or medium-term plans. And so he wants to get one up on God. We know the story. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, like the Prime Minister Cameron, and like all these other leaders, were all about centralization, globalization, and control. I think we need to pay attention to what's going on around the world and not be so focused upon what's going on here. Because whether we like it, we're connected. Whether we like it, when one person sneezes in one country, we can either catch the cold or in some other place they may get pneumonia. We're all connected. Globalization at any cost. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to finish off what Nimrod had tried to do at the Tower of Babel. Have you not noticed that we live in a society where it doesn't matter what country you come from, you can communicate through technology and get the message through? Huh? Let me see the cell phones in the room. Show me them. Come on. Next to your Bible, that's most important. Is that right? Uh-huh. I've heard of folk texting people in their own home. Honey, could you come down? What? I got to send you my message. Uh-huh. And God forbid, brothers, if you don't pick that phone up and look at it all the time when she says she wants something done. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. Oh, let's go out together. Have you noticed this? We're going out as a group and we're sitting in the restaurant waiting for the food and everyone's doing this. 21st century idea of socialization and mixing. No one says anything to anybody anymore. You can't get people to answer. If you leave a voicemail, don't waste your time. Hello? I'm having that problem with some of my young folk. I don't know about you. The days of talking and communicating. Nah. And if you lose your phone, oh my word, it's over. It's worse than the investigative judgment. Huh? You lose this, you've had it, girl. Globalization. Can I be real with you today? Huh? I'm going to be in your face in the name of Jesus, okay? You may like me, love me, hate me. I don't care. I want to see you in the kingdom. If God has to go to the depths of hell to pull you out from where you are now so that you can see the face of Jesus. I'm not one of those preachers who apologizes for the word of God. It's not going to happen. I just want you to pray for me that I will be faithful. Globalization at any cost, where the one world, new world order, everybody spoke the same language. Everybody had a universal mindset. Everybody and every standard was now socially redefined. The standard of morality had to be uniform. Huh? And God recognized what Nimrod was trying to do because he built that tower. And let me tell you something. Nimrod happens to be an ancestor of mine. I told you can choose your friends, not your family. He's a son of Ham. That brother built a tower that even the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost had to come down and check it out. What is this Negro doing now? If we don't stop, he Human beings, they will do anything. You have to understand, we are made in the image of God. We are made with His capabilities. We just don't have His power. This is it. We are it. Tell the person, you are it and so am I. In the image of God. Come on, talk to somebody. You are it and I am too. We are made in the image of God. Hello, I thought something we should brag about, huh? If you don't believe you were made in the image of God, then you've been reading the wrong book. The monkey see, monkey do, right? All right, are we still awake in the house? Nebuchadnezzar wanted to finish off what Nimrod had started, and had God not come down and confused the languages, had He not come down and messed things up, there would be nothing that we could not do. Dallas is nothing compared to the evil that men can do. Louisiana is the same. Doesn't matter where you go. We're messed up. This world is sick. And some of us still want to vote to stay instead of to go. Just like the Prime Minister. No, let me say this. If another referendum were to be taken now as to whether or not we want to go with Jesus or remain here in Babylon, and if Nebuchadnezzar was around now, how would we vote? Sometimes it's not what you do, it's what you don't do. The Prime Minister David Cameron, I saw him that next morning. That must have been a night when he could not have slept. Because to win meant he would stay in power. To lose, he would have to leave. And right now, going on in London, they're at each other's necks. And it is likely that we will have a female Prime Minister. I'm just getting over the first one we had. She was a piece of work, but she was a strong woman. Amen, ladies? Come on, amen. Talk to me. Don't worry about who's sitting next to you. Think about Jesus. Hello? He might need it too. I believe Cameron didn't get any sleep that Thursday night and woke up to a different country, and he had to go. It must have been tough for Nebuchadnezzar to look at that entire image whose body was comprised of different metals, different kingdoms, different personalities, but it was dead and it was barely kicking. The toes were the only thing that were working. Are you with me? Have I lost anybody yet? With respect to what we in our lifetime have just seen going on, just a couple of weeks ago. If the sure word of God has taught me anything, and it is this, it does not matter which pharaoh, which president, which king, which leader, under whatever government system you are under, whether they know you or whether they know you or your God or not, one thing we need to consider. When God gets ready to speak up, when Michael gets ready to stand up, and when Jesus, who's getting ready to show up, nothing in the heavens above, nothing on the earth below, nothing in the waters beneath the earth can stop God doing from what He chooses to do. Amen. You better get used to it. In watching what transpired back home with the Brexit vote, the time has come for some of us to cast another ballot. Not where we will spend the next so many years where we're living or in some other location, but where do we plan to spend eternity? Because some of us have allowed our politics to shape our theology. When I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church 40 years ago, May of 2000, no, it was in the previous century, even I've forgotten it. 76. Yes, God has blessed me. I don't look that old. Amen. I'm thanking God for his blessings. Is that all right? How many of you are around here in 1976? Oh, we got some honest people in the house. Amen. That was 40 years ago. And I remember when I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church, there was no right wing or left wing or extreme. It was just a church. Oh, which side are you on? Salvation by diet or righteousness by Christ? It's messed up. Let me talk to you. Let me just be real with you. Yes, I work for the church, but I preach the truth. And it's not about, if we could, we would shape and we would model Jesus to fit our own desires. But let me tell you something. He's God, you're not. He's in charge, praise God, that I'm not. Because do you know what would happen to us if we had God's power? This room would be half empty. And you would be wondering what happened to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They're not here. Think about it. God is merciful. God is sensible. God is powerful. I'm so glad when he said to the disciples, I will make you fishers of men. I want you to catch the fish, but I never gave you the knife to cut and clean it. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I don't care what I smell like, what I look like. Let God be God. Because if you don't, you've already broken the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods besides my wife. My girlfriend. My education. My profession. My concrete 15th generation Seventh-day Adventist chocolate eating. I started the church and this is the family pew. Give me a break. Who do we think we is? No, that's wrong. British people don't talk like that. You know I did that deliberately, right? Huh? Our righteousness, the last time I checked, was as filthy rags. We must choose which one of the two options we have, to leave or remain. And I want to posit to you, go back now to Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Early part of the chapter, let's see those Bibles open. I'm wrapping this thing up. I'll soon set you free. Amen. Your meal isn't going anywhere. All right? God will provide. Amen, somebody? Amen. Amen. Daniel 2, 34. And this is what Daniel is telling the king. He tells him, as you watched, a rock was cut out from a mountain. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But not by human hands. I believe in your Bible it might read something like that. You watched while a stone was cut out, how? Without hands. And it struck the image on its feet. I think I have something here. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Struck it where? On his feet. What was the deal with the rest of the body? It was dead, right? How many of you have walked so long, your feet are sore, and the only thing you want to do is kick off your shoes or your sneakers, and if they're sneakers, put them somewhere else. And you want to sit down and relax because you cannot make another step. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Huh? But if the feet don't move, you ain't going anywhere. The rock was cut from the mountain, but not with human hands. The Bible says here, in verse 34, you watch while the stone was cut, how? Talk to me. Without what? Without hands. And it struck the image where? On its feet. Have mercy. As if I wasn't in a problem already. 35, the whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. And the Bible says that the wind blew them away like chaff. Gold, chaff. Silver, chaff. Chaff is another word for dust that you can't use. Bronze, chaff. It's useless. Iron, chaff. Clay, chaff. You can't use it. Oh, have the markets been taken a beating? You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, your money will be worthless. And your investments will be no more. Yes, but the rock that knocked the statue down, the Bible tells us, became what? Are you reading your Bible? It became a what? A great mountain. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, and the silver, then the gold were crushed together, and they became like chaff on the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that there was no trace of them to be found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain. The stone. Let me just take a few minutes. How many of you know what the difference? And when we're talking about stone now, we're talking about gem. Ladies, how many of you would love to have that rock? That priceless rock. That we fellas could never afford, but if we could, we'd give it to her. Is that right? You better nod your head if your wife's sitting next to you, okay? Otherwise, you will have a pastoral visit. That rock. What's the difference between an uncut rock and a cut rock? And I've never looked at this before, but why does the Bible talk about uncut stone or rock? Well, I decided to check this thing out. So I go on jewelry.com. Fellas, I recommend it to you. You can look at it, you can dream about it, but that's as far as you're going to get. You can't afford nothing on there anyway. Amen, fellas? Amen? All right. Is she looking at you wondering, what are you going to say now? Anyway, never mind about that. Huh? Watch this. What are the differences? And this is important for this verse. According to jewelry.com, normally diamonds that are humanly cut and polished are done to make them look nicer. And I'm going to skip a few here. Is that pretty? On the left? Come on now, ladies. Come on. It's pretty. Don't lie in church. It's not good. Okay? It's pretty. The way a diamond is cut and polished is not only done that way to make them look nicer and neatly shaped. The way a diamond is humanly cut determines its proportions, which in turn will affect the way the stone will reflect light. Now, I'm not advocating jewelry here, right? Because that's another topic that I'm not going to get into. But let me use it. Because I remember, I read somewhere in the Spirit of Prophecy that when Eden was created, diamonds were worthless. I mean, you just pick that thing up. Okay. Not now. You pick that thing up and you go and check it out. But what happens is if it's a cut stone and it is not polished, my brother, that means it will not reflect the light and it won't glisten. And girls, if it don't do any of that, he's cheap. Hello? That was a Walmart discount special. Lord help us. It reflects the way a stone will reflect light. Diamonds that are cut by human hands with better proportions have more brilliance. They say polishing is important for how a diamond will look. Generally, a polished surface on a cut diamond lets more of the light fall on the inside of the stone, making it sparkle more. Now, I could preach just on that one alone. I think when the light of God gets into your soul and cleans you up, you will shine.
Amen.
That wasn't in the text here. Geologically speaking, all diamonds come from stone. However, diamonds that are humanly cut, humanly polished, humanly manufactured, measured or valued, they are done so by human beings. Are human beings perfect? So what happens to a good polished diamond made by a human? It is still imperfect. I went to see the Crown Jewels in London some years ago. That queen is rich. All I could do, and brother, they told me that the ones that we were looking at in this case were fake. And they were priceless. I looked at her, I said, my goodness, she don't need any money. Give me one of those things. Just one. I will pay your bill. Huh? I will send you wherever you want to go. You better check my motives, right? Because I may well want to get rid of you. But anyhow, the thing is, these were priceless, humanly cut. What am I point am I making? When human beings who are imperfect cut things and measure them, sometimes we measure people more than we should. Sometimes we devalue them more than we should. Sometimes we mark them up or we discount them down. That's what human beings do. Amen, somebody? Humanly manufactured. Let me talk about uncut diamond now. Are you ready for this? They tell me that an uncut diamond is a stone that has not been shaped in any particular form by a cutter, and it has not undergone polishing. Uncut diamonds are called rough or raw diamonds. Have you ever heard the term diamond in the rough? Okay? I want to show you something here. Is that pretty? Is it pretty? Uh-huh. Honey, I can't afford it, but it does look pretty. They call it the find of a lifetime. This is called, I want you to repeat after me, Lesedi Larona. Lesedi Larona. You just spoke a little bit of Botswana. Amen, Africa. Amen, Africa. And it means our light. That is pretty. The uncut stone called our light went on the auction block a week after the Brexit vote. The starting price was $70 million. As they gathered, and it was a special market of people, super duper rich, got more money than they got common sense, because they ain't giving none of it to us, right? Okay. It said that when the buyers at the auction saw that beautiful diamond, they were afraid to buy it. No one wanted to buy it. You see, they probably would have bought it if it was broken down into other little pieces, such as other diamonds had been. The lowest bid was $70 million. The Gemological Institute of America had a letter stating that this stone, according to them, is about 3 billion years old. We know that's not true. It was dug up 140 kilometers, that's probably what, about 80, 90 miles, below the ground. And it came up through the ground through intense heat, intense shaking, forced upwards through volcanic eruptions to the top where it could be found. Many other diamonds, they say, would crumble under the tremendous stress of a journey like that. How many of you have been in a plane and it's doing this number and it's doing that number and you can't get out and say something? Huh? This diamond comes up from miles under the ground and it looked like that. Watch this. They say that a crystal of this size withstood such conditions is a combination of ideal conditions in nature and good fortune. Give me a break. It came up from beneath the ground. Watch this. It is one of the largest diamonds ever recovered. Well, let me tell you something. That is a beautiful uncut diamond. But it does not compare. Hello, buddy. It does not compare to the rock cut out of the mountain called Jesus. Hello, somebody. Because it had to come up out of the ground, but my Bible says that that stone in Daniel came from heaven out of nowhere. It was never cut out by man's hands. You cannot cut, shape God the way you want. It's the other way around. We are the created. He is the creator. Some of us want a God, have it your way, Burger King type. It's not going to happen. They tell me, as I close, that this stone, Jesus, who comes uncut, is coming back for people who are ready and who have made their decision that they want to go back with him when he comes back. But let me tell you something. He's going to have to do some work on some of us. He's going to have to do some work in some of us. And it may not be pretty, it may not be nice, but I say, Lord, chip away. Whatever it takes, do it. Because I want to walk on streets of gold. No, let me back up. I want to see your face. Huh? I want to walk with you and talk with you. I am fed up of Dallas. I'm fed up of Baltimore. I'm fed up of all this mess. Fed up. I'm tired. They told me that when Solomon's temple was being built, the glorious temple, are we temples? Are we? Yes? Some of you are not sure. You need to be sure. And one of two gods will dwell depending on who you invite. But they said when they were building Solomon's temple, where the temple compound was and where the quarry was miles away. And they would not, and the stones that they got from the quarry were never touched. They just got them, piled them up. And the time came and they would have them delivered. You see, they didn't want the area where the temple was for men to be chipping and cutting stone. No cut stones were to be put in the temple. You know why? Because we have to remember, I have nothing that I can bring. I have nothing that I can do to offer Jesus, right? He's got to do something in me. I need to be worked with. I need to be worked on. I need to be worked through. And the Bible and this history tells us that the temple compound was quiet. And one day they brought this huge stone and they put it near to where it was supposed to go. And would you believe the workers would bump into it while they were doing their work? And sometimes when you bump into certain things, you get fed up of them being there. You know what they did? They took that huge stone and they rolled it down the mountain. When the time came for the foundation of the temple to be laid, they sent word back to the quarry, what happened to the cornerstone? We sent it to you months ago. What did you do with it? Who does the cornerstone represent? Jesus. And the question is, what have we done with him? The story goes, they found that stone and they put it in his place, and the church was built. The temple was completed. Brexit. Now you know. But I'm so glad for the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. The Lord's our rock. In him we what? He's a what? Shelter in the time of storm. Is that right? The Bible calls him the builder, the foundation stone. He's sure. He's the rock, as they say in music, that will not roll. He's the tried stone, a cornerstone, a precious stone. To some, he will be a stepping stone, and to others, he will be a stumbling block. Take your pick. They say whoever falls on the stone will be saved, but whoever gets crushed by it will be destroyed. So what are you building? What are we investing in? The markets? Or an eternal future with a God who, when I check that city out, as recorded in Revelation, makes anything in Las Vegas look like waste management disposal unit. It's a shack. I'm talking about them casinos. I lived between Vegas. I've been to Vegas many times. I'm going to tell you, it's all on church business. Let me fix that up. All on church business, praise God. But they got some magnificent dens of iniquity. The Bellagio. The MGM Center. They're all there. They call it the Strip. And believe you me, it is what it says it is. But I don't care for that. I want to see the New Jerusalem. I want to look in my Jesus' face. Yes. And say, God, I am in shock. Give me a million years to get over the fact that I am walking on the sea of glass. I've got a Palm Beach in my hand. I've got a palm branch in my hand, and I am going to walk and never get weary, sing and never get tired, because the rock, which is Jesus, is coming back for you and me. Amen, somebody. This is good news. Cameron, take a walk. Obama, go someplace else. And if you have to go anywhere, go to the Word of God. Amen. He's wrapping things up. Isn't this election year is like none that I have seen in the 36 years since I stepped on these shores. And if there was ever a time the church needed to be praying, that's P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. Not P-R. E-Y-I-N-G. Hello? We need to be lifting each other up. Because if Jesus leaves, his spirit leaves this church. What happened in Rwanda, people turning on each other, will happen here. And you better believe, if judgment is going to begin at the house of God, you're going to see how people really are without the Holy Ghost. Because let me tell you something, if you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, you are nothing more than a demon waiting to attack somebody. Amen. I'm not mincing my words today, because I don't know that I'm going to be coming back here. So this is it. Brexit. Which stone do you value? The uncut stone or the cut stone? Which stone describes my lifestyle, my choices, the decisions that I make? Come on, Chandler. You've got to be in the kingdom. Tell me that you are, we're going to hang out in the kingdom. Is that okay? Huh? Tell me that we won't ever have to grow old. I will get my hair back. I'm serious. I mean, this is low maintenance, but I want the real thing back. Because Revelation describes Jesus as having a whole bunch of hair, and his skin was like bronze, and the brother looked good. Hello? Amen.